Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 16th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We've just started the chapter 4 in the Big Book entitled We Agnostics, and we're going to be studying and taking apart paragraph 2 today. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry H., the 12 traditions, Rhonda R. Reading the text today and support is Brandy M., Lois P., Dana P., Janice PM to greet newcomers and get all those good sponsor names. And then Robin P. will round us out this morning with giving us some announcements on the activities here at A Vision for You. The share ID numbers. A share ID number for yesterday, Monday, March 15th, 2021, for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting is 16583, 16,583. And then today, the share ID number is, give me just 1 second and I'll grab that up real quick, like, is 16587, 16,587 this morning. That would be for Tuesday, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting on the 16th. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read those 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Terry.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. As usual, it's good to hear your voice. This is Terry H. I am from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace, one day at a time, and I'm not cured. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all the defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to each person who, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve.
Thank you so much, Terry H. from Florida. I will now ask Rhonda R. from Georgia to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. Good morning. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia, a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you so much for the opportunity to do service today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Very grateful for it. And that would be Rhonda R. from Georgia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And as I was indicating earlier, please, everyone, only use the star 1 key function. Even if you're holding in queue to share next, go ahead and press star 1 to mute your line. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in chapter 4 entitled We Agnostics, and we're going to be taking apart paragraph 2 today. And it begins with, to the one who feels, and ends with, easy alternatives to face. And I would like to call on Brandy M. from Canada to please read that paragraph and then share on her experience with the directions in the Big Book before we open it up to the general population to share. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, Melanie. Thanks for your service. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. Good morning, all. You know, it's funny because I listened to the earlier meeting a little bit, and then I thought, you know, what am I going to share about today on this? And, you know, before my go-to was always like myself and like finding ideas, and because I thought I had all the great ideas. And, you know, today it's like, okay, God, just speak through me. Tell me what I need to share about this. And, you know, that didn't come overnight. And, you know, I always look at it as, It did seem impossible at first. It seemed impossible when I heard people sharing on these lines of, you know, neutrality and that, you know, they're connected with a higher power. And, you know, I didn't have any sort of faith in God or any, you know, ground in a, you know, biblical sense or anything like that when I first started. And so the whole God idea to me was a little bit far-fetched. And I honestly thought, like, are you kidding me? God is doing for this what, like, God is doing for you what you could not do for yourself? Like, come on. And like, but that's the kind of attitude that I showed up with. Like, you know, I just didn't believe that this was possible. But, you know, when it got so bad to the point where I was living this life of zero substance and, you know, constantly in collision with people, the calamities of life were taking over. And, you know, I didn't know where to go or what to turn to. And so, you know, it was like that surrender piece, like, you know, at the end, and I had to get to the end. I had to get to that desperation where I could see that I really had two alternatives. Like, I could just go on living like I was, which sucked. Or, you know, I heard you guys. I heard you guys saying, like, life was getting better. And, you know, what I think about my relationship with God today, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm surrendered. I'm done. The food is down and, you know, life is perfect. Like, I've been abstinent a year and a half. And in that year and a half, my relationship with God has evolved just like it would with a person. You know, it wasn't immediate where God was all or nothing. You know, there was times, several times, even today, where I still, you know, get into creating my own thinking and doing my own actions. And, you know, in step two, it tells me that I have to turn over my thinking and my actions to my higher power. You know, today I choose to call it God, but it's not the God of the biblical sense. It's just, that's just easy for me. But I, you know, every day it's like that relationship, I get closer and closer with it, and more is revealed to me. It's not, it didn't start out like that. I had to act as if a lot. Like, I just acted like, okay, like, this person seems like they have it, so I'm going to listen to them and I'm going to believe it because I'm out of ideas. My ways weren't working. And, you know, I didn't want to continue to live like a compulsive overeating death. That's not where I wanted to be. I wanted to be, you know, where you guys were, where I heard all this hope and love and, you know, and today my higher power gives me that. But it's not always in my time either, right? It's not a transactional relationship where I'm like, hey, I need this. And thanks. Hey, I need this. And it's here. You know, it's like sometimes I have to be patient and wait. And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. Miss Brandy M. from Alberta, Canada. The lines are going to be open now for anyone else to be able to comment on paragraph 2 and the page 44 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which begins with, to one who feels he's atheist, and then ends with easy alternatives to faith. If you... we do ask, really, that everybody kind of stand back for a few days. If you shared on Friday or Monday, consider tomorrow being your day to be able to share rather than today. That opens up lines for other people to be able to share their experience, strength, and hope as well. If you'd give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I'll take a line up of a few right now.
Nancy
A-L-C. I hear Nancy. And what was your first initial of your last name, Nancy?
C. In California.
And where are you from? Thanks. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Penny.
J-C-A.
L-C.
I got Penny, L-C.
J-C-A.
Did I hear a Nancy A?
J-C-A.
What was Stacy A? Okay, thanks.
And then Pauline F.
Okay, Pauline F.
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay, sounds like we've got a lineup here. Nancy C, Penny LC, Stacy A, Pauline S, and Robin P. First up, Nancy C, where are you from? You said California?
Yes.
Okay,
I live
great.
In Anaheim,
welcome.
California. I'm Nancy C, compulsive overeater. And, you know, I'm not an atheist or an agnostic, although I think I've been a believer in God my whole life, but I think I've lived as far as my compulsive overeating as an agnostic. But I'm at the point where I recognize I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, and I want to live on that spiritual basis, but I just don't know how. And so I keep showing up, and I'm working through the steps with my sponsor and just trying to do what's, you know, what's directed in the book every day, and trusting God that He's going to show me. So that's all I have to share today. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy C. from California. Penny L. C. from Washington. You're up next for three, and then Stacy from New York will follow you.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L. C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I remembered coming to program in desperation, and yet seeing this chapter, we agnostics, and what is an agnostic but without knowledge? And I thought, well, I have knowledge of God. I believe in God. So I didn't think I even really needed to read the chapter. Oh my goodness. Well, I had a lot to learn, that's for sure. Because I, even though I was believing there is a God, I really didn't know God. I didn't know the God that was going to be able to come walk beside me and show me another life. And so just the idea that I could even seek the help, but I could also, which I did need to do, was to have a new concept of a higher power. And that, the freedom to consider that was really unique. I needed a God that worked for me. And so to be able to come to understand that this higher power could be what worked and could give me that direction and guidance that would take me from that being doomed to being free was it's an incredible journey. And today I am grateful to know that I have a higher power that I do feel connected to and am able to have a relationship with and am able to experience that freedom from one day at a time, so long as I stay spiritually fit. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Penny L.C. from Washington. Stacey A. from New York, you're up now. And then Pauline, you'll come in after Stacey in about three.
Hi, I'm Stacey A. from New York, bulimic, about a newbie. I believe in God my whole life, but with this program, I believe in my higher power, but I know I need to believe in Him a lot more and listen to all my fellows. How it took time for them to really believe and to really trust that there is a power greater than themselves is what's helping me, because, you know, I do pray and believe, but sometimes I still try to control things on my own. But when I speak to fellows, they say just give it to God and everything is what I'm starting to do a lot more. Especially with going back to work as a teacher, my anxiety has really been up, and more I'm praying to God about that and just trying to let my anxiety go, and it's kind of helping, but I think I just have to listen to everyone and just let things go a lot more and leave it up to God, because I can't run the show anymore like I used to. If not, I'll go back into the disease, and I don't want to anymore. So just listening to everybody and how they have found their spiritual awakening really helped. And for the fellowship and the support of everyone, I'm forever grateful, especially during this time of uncertainty. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. And thank you for your service, Lonnie, for today. Thank you.
You betcha. My pleasure. Thank you, Stacey A. from New York. Pauline S. from Ohio, love to hear from you for about 3 minutes. And then Robin P., who's currently in Florida, will share then at that particular point, and then we'll open up the lines again. Be reminded that we're in paragraph 2 on page 44. Okay, Pauline, your turn. I'll step out.
Oh, thank you so much. This is my first time speaking. So my name is Pauline F., and I'm in Ohio, Eastern Standard Time, excuse me. Spirituality, and I can understand for somebody who's agnostic, and in fact I have many agnostic friends, how intimidating or even silly it might seem of a concept. Myself, I think I was just born, you know, into a relationship with God. I have a history with God just pretty much from even before I was born, I feel. And so believing in God has never been a struggle. However, trusting or not feeling abandoned by God has been a struggle for me. And through this program and the spiritual journey I've been on since starting this program, what I've come to find how God shows me is just in light, his light. So the things that, you know, you might enjoy, whether that's a plant or being outdoors or just a discussion with a friend, maybe it's relaxing times. In those moments, I kind of just start to breathe into my soul and realize that God is shining his light into me, and that is his love, and that is God. So those times when you feel, you know, safest, when you feel recognized, you know, those are the times that God is shining his light. So for people who struggle, including myself at times, with this concept of God and what does that mean for us in this journey, how do we cling to that hope? How do we not feel abandoned? That's what I really learned, is to see him as light, to see him as love, and to kind of, you know, recovery is really uncomfortable. It's hard. It's messy. But to glean strength from that light during those really, really difficult times, or those times when you feel abandoned or alone or hopeless, or like I might not get through today or even the next moment or whatever. So that is all I have to share today. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Pauline S. from Ohio. Robin P., currently in Florida. We'd like to hear from you for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open up the lines again. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Mel. It is so great to hear you. I just really miss you, and I know I'm not alone in that. And you know, it just makes me realize how important we all are to each other. You know, you buoyed my spirits today, hearing your voice on the line. So thank you so much for your amazing service, and yay, just means a lot to me. I came into this program years ago, and it didn't stick. But I came in as a devout atheist and proud, and that's my father. And you know, I saw God on the walls, and I literally ran out of the room and thought judged and said, these people have just substituted one crutch for another. And somebody said to me, you know, if you just good orderly direction, any power greater than your addiction that's killing you, any power greater than you worshiping food, because I went to food as my God. If I was scared, sad, lonely, happy, anything, oh, here comes a feeling, and anything, I would run, just fear, resentment, selfishness, self-seeking, anything, I would run to my God food. And that never once worked. and that definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result. And to continue as he means disaster. You know, it's Russian roulette disaster. And, you know, the choice to then good orderly direction. This program was my bridge to God. And because it gave me honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness how I recover, I was able to be open enough to have a spiritual awakening of the profound variety with a voice that led me to God that I know today, God of my understanding today. And, you know, some of us, you know, have that. Some of us don't. There, it's all perfect. It's all good orderly direction. And but without this program, I never would have had a bridge to God. And I never would have, it never would have dawned on me that I wanted to be of service to God and my fellows. And I'm so grateful today for my abstinence. It's this program's my life. It gave me back my life. It gave me my life. I never really had a life. It gave me my life. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. And I'm so grateful God to share. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Robin P., currently in Florida. The lines are now open for additional comments. We're on page 44 in the chapter, We Agnostics. We're unpacking paragraph 2 today. To one who feels he's an atheist or agnostic, and then ends with, not always easy alternatives to face, y'all. If you'd like to give your, if you haven't shared, you know, in the last little bit, if you didn't share, let's see, Friday, Monday, and Tuesday, share tomorrow. But if you didn't share since last Thursday, please share today. And so I take the first name, the first initial, the last name, and perhaps your state.
Roz H.
Roz G. Hey, from California.
Palmer. Mo H.
Oh, Mo H. She's from California, too. Memory is not bad yet.
Shanna C. from Tennessee.
Hey, Shanna. Hi, Shanna C. Tennessee. Shanna. Yeah, Shanna C. Who else? Well, let's grab up this time that's ticking away here and start right out with Roz G. from California, and then Mo, you'll sneak in right behind her. Hey, Roz, you're up for three.
Good morning. I had to sit and think, when did I last share? And I think it was Thursday. I hope so, because I don't want to be one of those oversharers. So my name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I'd like to say that for today on this share, I'll say that I have I've had a religious practice for many years, and sometimes it was toxic and unhealthy, and I got out of that, and I got into a way healthier religious practice, and in the toxic area where I went to church, that was where I practiced the disease the most, was going to Bible study where there was always cakes and lasagnas and then, you know, those homemade things. That was the reason I went to the Bible study or to the retreat, was for the food. But to face agnosticism, you know, I, at the beginning of the year and throughout the early part of the year, I have been drawing nearer to my creator, to my higher power, and doing it through some religious practices, through abstaining from some things in order to seek my higher power's will and faith on a deeper level. And he's been dealing with me about my agnosticism, about my belief. Because when something doesn't go my way, I start to wonder if there is really a God. And just this morning, I was going through the fear inventory with a sponsee. We're going through a step four, and we were, you know, getting ready to write all this stuff. And the big book talks about how, who are we trusting in, finite self or infinite God? And so many times I catch myself getting worried or getting resentful at something that didn't go my way. And that all boils down to, what do I believe? And sometimes I'm doubtful. And so, what, you know, the title of the chapter, We Agnostics, and I've heard this in other shares recently, in my early days in OA, 15, 18 years ago, I thought, oh, that's not for me. I'm not an agnostic. I believe in God. Yet I could not face the problem of being a compulsive overeater, and nor could I overcome it. And so I salute and I revere the big book of AA for giving me a relationship with my creator more deeper than I've ever had in my life. And I have to, every day I have to say, I am that I am. You know, I believe that God is. Either he is or he isn't. What's our choice to be? That's what the big book says. And sometimes I have to remind myself, oh, yes, God is. And that's not easy to admit, but it's the truth.
Time.
And the truth, yes, and the truth sets me free. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. Mo H., you're up next, and then Shanna, you'll follow. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Melanie. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. Good to hear your voices and your shares on the line, really helping me out. So I've written in my book here, probably from something I went to, that this chapter is not to prove there is a God, but to let him show himself to me. And so when I came into the rooms, I had a faith that was given to me by my parents, and I believed, and I saw step two and three, and I decided that I knew all that, so I just kind of skipped them. What I didn't have was a really true, solid connection with a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. You know, I had a God that I prayed to and I asked for help, you know, please help me lose weight. But, you know, I never, you know, would lean into that God when I was about to pick up. And so there are the three D's in this chapter: disaster, doomed, and death. So my compulsive eating was a disaster when I, this last 5 years ago, about this time, that I was so bad into the sugar part of my disease that I could not stop. And I knew what I was doing. And I was doomed unless I was going to do something about it. And that was making a call to somebody and completely willing to give myself 100% to this program and to what she said. And if I don't do that, I am doomed to death. And it says on page 25, you know, we have but two choices. You know, we're going to eat to the bitter end, or we're going to get a spiritual help, which is these 12 steps, one step at a time, and to live on a spiritual basis, as it says here. So I have to say, you know, even though it's been sad since my husband passed, I have been leaning into God more and more with everything that I do. I'm asking for guidance literally with everything. And when I get all upset, I'm pausing and then going to God and saying, what would you have me be? What would you have me do here? Because some days I'm just spinning around with so much paperwork that I am in a tizzy. So I'm just leaning in. So with that, Melanie, I think I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ross. Why would I say that? Mo H, appreciate that very much. Okay, we got Shanna C up, and then we'll have time for a few more if you want to get ready. We're going to be unpacking paragraph 2, page 44 in the big book, in the chapter We Agnostics. So get ready. Shanna, you're up. Hi.
Good morning. This is Shanna C from Tennessee, grateful, recovered, compulsive eater through the grace of a loving God that I had no idea was even willing to be helpful in my life. You know, the cool thing is the big book talks about how we don't have to consider another's conception of God. The only conception of God we need to have is what makes sense to us. Thank God for that, because I had so many twisted ideas about what God was. Like so many others, I had a belief in God, but figured, I don't know. I didn't know how it worked. But the thing is I would have never sought God. I'm not naturally bent on becoming this wonderful person. I'm selfish and self-centered to the extreme, even when trying to be kind. Desperation and pain brought me to the rooms. So I can't even take credit for even being here. I didn't will myself into OA. I didn't will myself into wanting to become better. Pain, you know, drove me to wanting to get better somehow. So the concept of God that really made sense to me was, okay, compare God to this famous hospital that is the only hospital that's going to even give you a chance at getting better. I need to take the action to go to that hospital, and the head of the hospital is the one that has the ability to help you get better. I've known of this hospital. I've known of this person. Yeah, I knew they existed. I knew they were there. But until I actually saw the need and how powerless I was to get well on my own in any other way, because I'd tried them all, I wasn't willing to take the action to go to that particular hospital and to seek the help of this powerful doctor that was able to you know, solve my problem. So that, to me, that's kind of like that. Why would I seek God if I think I could do it myself? Why would I seek to know any of you people unless I identified with you? You know what I mean? So anyway, that's how the steps and how God is for me. I do believe he's all-powerful, all-loving, but I do have a very, very cunning, baffling, powerful disease that will kill me. And until I surrender to my powerlessness every day, I'm not going to take the actions and the steps that lead me to the access of that power that's going to give me God, that's going to remove my problem on a daily basis and enable me to function and live. So thankful for the steps, which provide the outline of that action that I get to take and stay abstinent a day at a time. Grateful to be here, grateful to be recovered, and grateful for all you guys for being here when I got here. Thanks.
Thank you so much. You know, we have time for probably three or four more people to share on that paragraph. Paragraph 2, page 44. I'd love to take your name down.
Charles H.
Carol.
Charles H.
Carol,
Carol.
F. Marilyn.
F like Frank, okay.
Alexis
M.
F.
Did I hear Alexis? Is that what it was?
Yes, Alexis F.
Alexis F like
Rena
Frank.
Rena M.
Alexis
M.
F like
oh,
freedom,
one.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. And then we got
Rena
M. I did. Where are you from, Rena?
Mississippi.
Okay, great. This is what I have. I have Charles H., Carol F., Alexis F., and Rena M. Hi, Charles. You're up first.
Thank you, Mel, for your service. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I love the emphasis on page 25 with the two alternatives. They're alternatives, not choices. And, you know, I love that. But I'd like to take your attention to page 9, what Ebbie Thatcher said to Bill W. It was a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. It's evident, and it was 2 months and it worked. So the religious idea is just surrender. Most of us in Overeaters Anonymous do not want to surrender. We want to be here and do this ourselves, and that's why this program won't work. And my grand sponsor always reminds me that the most underutilized steps is 2 and 10. I don't got to like doing this. I don't got to say a whole bunch of Hail Marys. I don't got to do all that. I got to set aside what I think I know for a new experience. I love what was said on the first meeting. I am not an atheist. I'm an angry believer. You know, that was so dope, because it's like, you know what? Like, we're going to find out that you don't got to say all these Hail Marys, and you don't got to give 10% of your income, and you ain't got to go on your knees either, and you ain't got to like this process. I just have to be out of ideas, right? And I have to just, you know, just keep my man in Chicago would say, just keep chopping my wood and carrying my water. You know, if I was God don't need to be in this program. I need to be in this program. I'm finite, and I like what I think Mo H, one of them, selfish, self-centered to the core every single day. Now, if you don't have buildup of human emotions on a daily basis, thank you. I'm grateful for you. But unlike that, I need help. Lack of power is my dilemma. We're going to find that out on page 45. And, you know, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but the big book is going to mention the word God. And it mentions the word God over 506 times. So, and it's the God of your understanding or the God of your not understanding. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? So with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Charles, for your share. Charles H. from New York. I have Carol F. now from Maryland. And then, Alexis, you'll follow Carol. You have three.
Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be on the line today. I want to speak to live on a spiritual basis. And for me, I have to say I need to pray only for the knowledge of God's will for my life and the power to carry that out. I have to go to God for everything. And what I've come to realize that for years, I dreaded getting up in the morning. I said, oh, God, it's morning. And I was basically depressed, didn't even know it. And it would take all I could do to drag myself out of bed. But being in recovery, I look forward to getting up. Actually, when I wake up, I can see myself just throwing the covers off, which I do, getting up and preparing myself to do my morning prayer and meditation. I look forward to that. And the reason why I do that is because I actually have evidence. I have concrete evidence, the result of my efforts to do prayer and meditation. It would take too long to give you chapter and verse of how my higher power has literally run my life. But the main evidence is that I'm abstinent, I'm in recovery, and I'm facing things that are difficult in my life, health issues. But my higher power is literally walking me through those things. And some days I have to really ask God to really just show himself to me if I'm in a weak moment. And he always does. It might just be a bird flying by. But anyway, that's all I want to say, and I'm happy to be here, and I want to tell all newcomers to keep coming back. It works. It really does.
Thank you so much, Carol F. from Maryland. Alexis F. from New Jersey. Your 3 minutes are up now.
Yes, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey. In reading books, I decide if they have truth in them, if what they say has something in them that works, what parts of them work in my life. I find a lot of truth in the big book. I find a lot of results in my life. In using the big book, utilizing it, coming to meetings, using the tools, working the steps. It says in the big book to use practices, if you know, like prayers from your own religious faith. Memorize prayers. You know, to use them. When I was growing up, I was brought up in a very strict religion, and I chose not to be in that religion anymore because I wanted something more biblical. And I appreciate the religion that I'm in right now, and it serves my purposes. I think I'm serving God's purposes in OA with service to him, my spiritual awareness with my 11-step practice and my 10-step practice and my obligation to God, myself, and other people, sharing with them my own humanity and how I listen to theirs, that also helps me. That's where I'm at right now. And I was very spiritual and religious, or I don't know whether I was taught. I was drawn to the aroma of a church and the atmosphere of it, but this program I'm drawn not just to the sizzle but to the meat, and the meat is curing the spiritual malady of this disease. Most days I have freedom from compulsion. If I do have it, it's very minimal compared to what I used to have. And to me, that's as happy a recovery as I think I'm going to get. Thank you.
Thanks, Alexis F. from New Jersey. Rena M. from Mississippi. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Good morning. This is Rena. Could you hear me?
I did. I stepped on your toes. Thank you.
This is Rena M. from Mississippi, recovered compulsive overeater, food addict. I will never forget my first 12-step meeting. When I went in, they had the steps written on the wall, and the first thing I noticed was there was a God in those steps. And my thought was, oh, my God, this is a bunch of religious fanatics. What has God done for me? He does not answer my prayers, and I'm not good enough to have anything to do with God. And so I thought at the beginning that I was down for the count. I stayed around the program a little while, and somebody finally said to me, Rena, you have to find your own concept of God. You can change that concept. And so I did. And it worked. I found a way to live without being in the food by having a different concept of God. Today, the most important thing that I need to remember is that there is a God and it's not me. And that God today is the center of my recovery. And as long as I have that relationship with Him, I am safe from the food and safe from the misery that I was living in before I came here. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rena M. I think that we have time for probably at least one 2 minute share, maybe, if somebody wants to grab that up real quick, like maybe a minute and a half. Well, we can afford all that through getting more sponsor contact information, which would be good. Okay, Linda, you want to take it? Let's go with,
sure.
with 90,
sure.
90 seconds. Okay, great.
Just
thanks.
Give me that signal, baby. Thanks so much, Melanie.
Okay.
It's so nice hearing your voice. Linda R. recovered in South Florida. So this, I really got so much out of today's meeting because I, too, always believed in God, but I always had trouble with the turning it over and trusting God. But I heard something the other day, and it was so appropriate. It said, somebody said in program, Linda, nobody's coming. Nobody's coming. It's the me that God is waiting for. And it's just cleared up everything because I've been running to doctors, dentists, lawyers, and nobody's coming. There is no human power. So this is perfect for today's reading, that I need to trust my higher power and He will take care of me. He'll direct me and guide me to the right resources and things will happen, and I need to let go of the outcome. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
What a wonderful way to end this today. Thank you so much, Linda R. from New York. We're going to close this part of the meeting. We're not done yet. We have another 10 minutes, but we're going to close up this one in a nice, neat package so that it can be archived for recording purposes for later. In so doing, we're going to ask Lois P. to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. But don't you all go yet. We're then going to turn off the recording and move over to having Janice greet just a few newcomers and then get a bunch of sponsor names and contact information and then listen to what Robin has to tell us about what's happening here at A Vision for You. But in the meantime, let's begin this process with Lois P. reading from the Big Book. Hi, Lois.
Hi. Hi, Melanie. Hi, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.